For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
They want him in prison, and this is what we need to understand.
So true.
David Brock and some of these organizations have already raised tens of millions of dollars for an impeachment process. Then they want jail to the chief. They need to understand that this is a war. We are so far beyond normal politics, Sean. We are in a very dangerous moment. And while President Trump is a very strong leader and a man of strong constitution, he was able to survive all of this during the campaign and get elected president. When you are president and you are faced with the kind of monolithic opposition you were talking about, plus a federal bureaucracy that is completely out to undermine him every day, the intelligence community that is engaged in some of this as well that we have heard, I hope to God that he is strong enough to withstand this. They are out to destroy him because if he succeeds, the country changes for the good, and they must not allow that to happen.
Hey guys, I'm Monica Crowley, and this is the Monica Crowley Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me here on this Thursday as we begin to close out another week. This is your go-to for hot liberty, a safe space for all of us thought criminals, independent thinkers, and happy warriors. On social media, on Instagram, I'm at @MonicaCrowley_, and on Twitter and Truth Social, I can be found at Monica Crowley. Also by email, I can be reached at MonicaCrowleyPodcast@gmail.com. So shoot me a note. Let me know what's on your mind. All right. Next week on this show, we're going to be joined by Senator Tommy Tuberville, who has been a guest here before a couple of times, and he's going to come by to talk to us about the Biden administration's stomping all over Title IX, which protects women and girls, especially in sports. By the way, Title IX was signed into law by my very first boss, former President Richard Nixon, when he was in office, to protect girls. I mean, it came out of the feminist movement of the 1970s. Nixon was a great hero in signing that into law. And here we are, 40 years later, and we've got a Democrat administration stripping away the rights and protections of women and girls. It is absolutely appalling. And Senator Tuberville has been all over this. So we're going to have an extensive conversation with him about this next week. Plus, Amber Smith on the woke military. She's got a new book about it. She's done a lot of incredible research on exactly how woke and communist our military now is, going from West Point through the Pentagon all the way down to the rank and file. This is a huge problem and is putting all of our lives in danger. So that conversation's coming up next week as well. Further down the line, we're going to be joined by Governor Kristi Noem about the Republican Party and how we're absolutely not going back to the likes of Mitt Romney, Jeb Bush, and John McCain. No way. So she's going to be here on that. And Tulsi Gabbard will be here as well. She's got a new book coming out on her journey of leaving the Communist Democrat Party, becoming an independent. Both of these women, by the way, Kristi Noem and Tulsi Gabbard, are in the running to be Donald Trump's vice president. So they will both be here in the weeks ahead. Very exciting conversations. And later here today, we're going to be joined by Mike Davis of the Article 3 Project. He is at the Supreme Court today for the presidential immunity oral arguments. And he's going to lay that out for us, tell us where we are in the fraud Stalinist show trial in Manhattan as well. And the bigger implications for the Constitution, the rule of law, and the future of this country. Again, it is all hanging by a thread. Mike Davis has long been on the front lines. This is going to be a big conversation coming up here later today. So stay tuned for that. First up, though, the Monica Memo, A Tale of Two Presidents. The current sitting president, air quotes around the word president, Joe Biden, you know, he is clearly out of it. I mean, I think that bothers most people that he is senile, that he is not up for this job, and that he is clearly incapable of doing the job, but he is surrounded by communists like Barack and Michelle Obama and the entire Obama team, Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, all of it, the usual Obama crew. They are the ones actually running the country in the ground and off the cliff. But Joe Biden is still the corrupt puppet who is formally holding the office, but everybody knows he's not capable of doing it and that all of these other people are actually running the country. I think that bothers the vast majority of the American people that we have a puppet as our, quote, president. But I also think that the more damaging part of the Biden, quote, presidency is the corruption, the deep, abiding corruption, the selling out of the United States of America to some of our worst enemies, including the Chinese and the Russians, just to enrich themselves even further and make sure that the ruling class is enriched even further. It's the corruption, stupid. Yes, the dementia is incredibly dangerous, and the fact he is a puppet is incredibly dangerous because you have all of these unelected, shadowy people from Barack and Michelle Obama all the way through to the deep state, the administrative state. They're all working in the background, and you're not aware of who they are, and you did not vote for them. And yet they are still running your country. Of course, that is incredibly dangerous. But the more dangerous element of all of this is Biden's deep corruption and the selling out of our country for his own personal enrichment and the enrichment of the ruling class. So I think between those two elements, the American people, or at least most of them, if you're not a radical communist agitator, and we have plenty of those around, but absent them, I think the vast majority of clear-thinking, normal Americans are horrified by both of those things. To me, it's the corruption, stupid. It's not the dementia, as horrifying as that is. It is the corruption, stupid. So Joe Biden, they wheel him out every once in a while because he still has to make an appearance as, quote, president. And they wheeled him out yesterday, and he went up. And look, his only job in all of this as a puppet is to just read the teleprompter. That's it. That's it. He doesn't have to lift a finger on policy. It's all being run by Barack and Michelle Obama and their team. He doesn't have to lift a finger to do anything. He just has to get in the Beast, drive to Andrews Air Force Base, get on Air Force One, go somewhere, read a teleprompter, shake a few hands, get back on Air Force One, go to bed. That's it. That is the extent of his role. And he is playing a role. That's it. And he can't even do that. So they wheeled him out to speak to the NABTU, Foundations for the Future, whatever that is. And the teleprompter was there. And it said, and literally all he had to do was read this, 4 more years. And then the instruction in the teleprompter was for him to pause and allow the 4 more years chance to organically, or maybe they were prompted, because nobody wants 4 more years of this fake presidency, allow the 4 more years chance to begin. But he actually read the instruction instead of staying silent and actually pausing. Listen.
4 more years. Pause.
4 more years. Pause.
Okay, guys, it's very easy to laugh all of this off, like, oh, look what a demented guy this is. He can't even read the teleprompter. It's easy to laugh at it, but this is not funny. This is absolutely not funny. And I think, you know, at the beginning when he was stumbling and bumbling around and didn't know where he was, I think a lot of people felt sorry for him. There was a lot of conversation out there about how it's tragic and sad that he is being elder abused in this way. And no, I think most people don't see this as sad or tragic. I think most of the American people right now are furious. They see this and they are pissed off. They're pissed that America is in this situation where you've got a commander-in-chief who's a fake and a fraud and a corrupt hack who is also demented and doesn't know where he is. The American people are pissed because this is extremely dangerous and it puts all of our lives at risk. Enough with this sick, dangerous fraud of a presidency, air quotes. Now, on the flip side, the legitimate president, Donald Trump, is stuck in Manhattan in the Stalin-esque show trial. And again, we're going to talk to Mike Davis here about it in just a couple of minutes. He's chained to New York City, but he is actually leveraging being stuck in New York City to his advantage. Because we saw last week he did the walkabout in Harlem and stopped in at that bodega where Jose Alba, the bodega worker, was confronted violently by somebody who was trying to rob it. And he ended up stabbing the assailant. And he was the one convicted of stabbing the assailant, trying to defend himself. We saw Trump go up to Harlem and do that walkabout surrounded by hundreds, if not thousands of people, again in Harlem, chanting Trump. That kind of organic love and respect and affection for him, I've never seen anything like this, guys. And I've been covering politics my entire adult life, and I have now been blessed to have worked for two American presidents, Richard Nixon in his last years, Donald Trump at the Treasury Department. This is like unheard of. This kind of organic love and affection for a leader. Most politicians, people might get hot on them like Bill Clinton in 92 or Obama in 08. People get hot on them. They've got hope in them. And then, of course, politicians let them down and they're corrupt and everything else happens. And people, you know, lose their sense of idealism about the guy. In this case, it's gone the exact opposite direction. In Donald Trump's case, the affection and love and passion for the guy has only increased. And we're not talking about increase over 3 or 6 months. We're talking about increasing over 8 years. Going on 9 years now, almost. He came down that escalator June of 2015. Nobody knew what to make of him, except yours truly, who was, I think, his very first public supporter outside his family and his team. But this kind of love and affection for a leader, Donald Trump is not a politician. He is a leader and he's leading a movement. But this kind of dynamic is unheard of. Unheard of. Even George Washington, father of our country, you know, he had enemies and it kind of, you know, it's just human nature. The bloom comes off the rose, right? Not in Trump's case. And the more they attack him, the more they go after him, the more the affection grows and deepens. Joe Biden doesn't have any of that because he's a puppet. People hate his guts. They cannot stand him. They know he's a fake, corrupt phony. Donald Trump is authentic. Sometimes too authentic, right? Sometimes his mouth gets him in a lot of trouble. And I love the man and he's my friend. But sometimes the mouth gets him in trouble. He's a little too authentic. But that kind of raw authenticity is what drives this kind of love and respect and admiration for the man. Because everybody, normal Americans, know he is out there taking all of these attacks, facing 700 years in jail. For us, for you and me, for America, for the Constitution. You think he needs this? He doesn't need this. He's got a supermodel wife, a great family. He had a hugely successful business, which they're also trying to destroy and take from him. He had the world at his feet and had since really the 1970s. I mean, he and Ivana in the 1980s, they were the it power couple, right? And then through the 90s, and he had some rough times and some bankruptcy, etc. And then he comes back. The guy is the American dream. And because he is the American dream, and he has lived it, he wants everybody else to have the same blessings of America. That's why he is out there fighting every single day for you and me, for children, grandchildren, for the future of this country. That's why he is facing 700 years in prison. Now, keep in mind, in 2015 and 2016, he did something incredibly powerful that was totally organic. And really, I think the single biggest thing that got him elected, he went to the forgotten men and women of America, the people in the middle of the country, but really all across the country, who had their lives absolutely crushed by globalism, by the uniparty, the system, the regime's move to globalism. That move to globalism, which really began in the 90s under Bill Clinton and then expanded under the Bushes, etc., like it was a uniparty deal. And it was sold to us as inevitable. This is a momentum toward globalism and you cannot stop it. Globalism crushed these people's lives. It decimated their communities. They saw their jobs and their industries, their companies going overseas, shipping their jobs and their livelihoods elsewhere, enriching China, but not enriching their communities in Illinois or Ohio or Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, especially America's industrial rust belt, absolutely hollowed out by globalism. And they had basically given up. Remember when Obama said, well, he was asked about American manufacturing and bringing it back. And he said something like, he made a crack like, well, if I had a magic wand, maybe I could do it, but I don't. So it didn't require a magic wand. It required pro-growth economic policies of the kind Donald Trump delivered, tax cuts, regulatory relief, unleashing our energy sector, and fairer trade deals. But all of those things were against the globalist agenda. So none of those presidents from Clinton up to Donald Trump even attempted to try it because it was against what they were pushing and how they were enriching themselves and the regime. So Trump comes in and he puts in this pro-growth economic agenda and he began doing the hard work of bringing American manufacturing back to the United States, onshoring it through tax incentives, fairer trade deals with the Chinese, with our North American trading partners, Canada and Mexico, through the USMCA. He was doing all of these things to protect America's workers and onshore these jobs. And do you know, in the four short years that he was president, he brought back 500,000 American manufacturing jobs. And I know that because I was there at Treasury, I saw it happening. So the voters to whom he was speaking in 2015 and 2016, the forgotten men and women, they had listened to Republican and Democrat candidates for president and other offices saying, yes, I will take care of you. We'll try to reverse this globalist trend. We will try to restore your communities and bring these jobs back. They trusted them and they were lied to. So when Donald Trump comes on the scene, he is not a politician. He is beholden to no one. And he tells them, I know you were lied to, but I promise you, I will deliver for you. He looked them in the eye and he told them, I hear you, I see you, and I will be your champion. Never in my lifetime have I seen or heard a more powerful emotional appeal to the American voter. And I use the word emotional because it is. It's emotional. It is not political. It was not ideological. It is emotional. That, I think, is the single biggest thing that got him elected. And then got him through his presidency, the support of these people, because you know what? Once he was in office, he didn't do what Bill Clinton and George Bush and Barack Obama, he didn't do what they all did, which is turn their backs on the forgotten men and women in service of the uniparty, the system, the regime, and the globalists. He did not turn his back on them. He actually delivered for them, delivered a booming economy, protected them with tariffs and fair trade deals, brought their jobs back, started reinvigorating their communities. Donald Trump had their backs, and they have not forgotten about that. And they cannot wait to vote for him again. And they know, they see very clearly all of this lawfare. And again, we're going to turn here in a minute to Mike Davis. They see all of this lawfare, what's going on now at the Supreme Court with the presidential immunity case. That's Jack Smith, which is Merrick Garland, which is Joe Biden, which is Barack and Michelle Obama. Okay? So you got a Supreme Court case going on. You got the fraud in Georgia. You got the fraud in New York City. You got the fraud in Florida with the classified documents case. That's also Jack Smith going all the way up to Biden and Obama, the Obamas. So you have all of this stuff going on, and the forgotten men and women whom Donald Trump championed see it very clearly for what it is, and they are done. They're done with this whole rotten system, and they see Trump as really the only player who could destroy and smash all of this corruption, all of this evil, and bring the country back. And so they are right there on the ramparts for him, because he has been on the ramparts for us. This morning, you know, we just discussed how Joe Biden couldn't even read his teleprompter. Well, this morning, Donald Trump, the legitimate president, again, stuck in New York, but is really leveraging his time being chained to New York, to speak to the forgotten men and women. So first, last week, he did that bodega walk around in Harlem, was greeted by big crowds chanting his name. This morning, same thing. This morning, he visited a construction site in Manhattan. And let me just tell you, I posted it up on Twitter and True Social. You can see the videos of this everywhere. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of construction workers getting ready to start their day on a site. And Donald Trump's motorcade pulls up, and he gets out of the car. And he begins shaking hands and talking to these mostly men, but there are some women in the crowd as well. And these New York City union workers, it's like being up in Harlem, union workers start chanting, "We love Trump. We love Trump. And USA, USA." Donald Trump was always the blue-collar billionaire, more comfortable with the workers on his real estate construction sites than the foremen. That is part of his appeal. Yes, he's a New York City billionaire, but the fact that he could relate to the New York City construction worker and hang with them, or go out into Ohio or Michigan or Pennsylvania and talk to steel workers, and talk to coal miners, and hang with them, and relate to them, see them, hear them, appreciate them, and then fight for them. That is the essence of Donald Trump. That is the essence of America First. That is the essence of his 2016 win. That was the essence of his presidency the first time around, and it is going to be the essence of his reelection this time and his second term. The regime knows this, which is why they are so desperately trying to crush our America First movement by crushing Trump. It's not working. MAGA lives. MAGA doesn't just live in like Indiana, a heavily red state, or Florida. MAGA lives in Harlem. MAGA lives on a construction site in New York City. This is also why the left, the regime, knows that they are in dire straits here, because even if Donald Trump is convicted in one or more of these Stalin-esque show trials, that his numbers are going up, not down, that he's being strengthened by all of this. And that's why they're getting increasingly desperate. I want to roll for you Mrs. Clinton. So Hillary Clinton, again, she is part of this cabal. It's Barack and Michelle Obama, the entire Obama team. It is Joe Biden to the extent he knows what planet he's on. But it's all of them, and it also includes Mrs. Clinton. And guys, in many ways, so much of what you're seeing against Donald Trump and America First is because Hillary Clinton was defeated by him in 2016. We'll do a whole like show on Mrs. Clinton here soon. But so much of this is driven by her and the fact that he defeated her in 2016. Russia hoax, all of this stuff. Russia hoax definitely came from her and her campaign. Her diseased mind came up with that to try to undermine and destroy Trump. And she has not rested. So she is also part of this. And every once in a while, she pops up her demon head and she goes on media and she starts telling lies and railing against Donald Trump. It is so, she's so pathetic. If she weren't so powerful, she'd just be like a laughing stock. But unfortunately, she is a deep state menace who belongs in prison for the rest of her life. But set that aside for a minute. So she goes out every once in a while to rail against Trump, etc. And you can just see her in bitterness. It comes out of every pore of her being. So Mrs. Clinton, a couple of days ago, went out on media and railed against Trump. Let me frame it this way. The left, the system, the regime, they are masters of projection, accusing our side of what they themselves are guilty of. So whenever they accuse Trump of something, election interference, that means that they are guilty of doing exactly that. They are masters of this. And because they also have the imperial media to amplify their lies, as they're engaged in this projection, the projection then gets amplified and the lies get amplified. So they will always accuse Donald Trump and America First and Republicans and conservatives of what they themselves are doing. Keep that in mind whenever you hear them say anything. It's, oh, that's a tell. That's exactly what they're doing. So here's Mrs. Clinton with a classic tell, a classic move of projection, where she's talking about how Donald Trump wants to kill his opposition.
We haven't talked much about the international arena, but, you know, his bromance with Putin, and it was actually called that, I think, by the former prime minister of Australia, who said he saw Trump with Putin, and Trump was like, you know, just gaga over Putin, because Putin does what he would like to do. Kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive, you know, journalists and others into exile, rule without any check or balance. That's what Trump really wants. And so we have to be very conscious of how he sees the world, because in that world, he only sees strong men leaders. He sees Putin, he sees Xi, he sees Kim Jong-un in North Korea. Those are the people he is modeling himself after. And we've been down this road in our, you know, world history. We sure don't want to go down that again.
All right, so there you have it. Two-time presidential loser, an embittered, toxic nightmare who does belong in prison, Mrs. Clinton, claiming all of the stuff that they, in fact, have done and continue to do. Smearing Donald Trump with their own crimes. This is all of it, whether it's on Ukraine, whether it's election interference, it's all their crimes, guys. And all of these committees and all of these show trials, they're all designed to cover up what they have done. The Mueller investigation was a cover-up of their Russia hoax crimes. The January 6th committee was the cover-up for their January 6th and rigged election crimes. The impeachment of Trump over the perfect phone call to Zelensky in Ukraine asking for an investigation into the Biden corruption, that impeachment of Donald Trump, they impeached him for their crimes, for Biden's crimes. And all of these things, the Jack Smith cases, the classified documents saying, now we find out, thanks to Judge Eileen Cannon in Florida, that there is a criminal conspiracy and has been underway by the Biden White House, the Biden DOJ, and all of the National Archives, all of these elements on classified documents. She unredacted a lot of these documents that they wanted kept secret. She released all of it, and we find out they were all working together, starting, I think, back in 2021, to create a bogus classified documents case against Donald Trump. They were all in actual collusion, not fake Russian collusion, actual collusion to try to nail Donald Trump on some trumped-up, made-up charge. We now know that they were engaged in this criminal conspiracy to do that. All of these cases, by the way, are criminally conspiratorial, okay? They're all working together. We have records of Fannie Willis coming up from Georgia, entering the White House to meet for like 2-3 hours with Kamala Harris. They're all working together. It's a complete violation of the law, but now we have actual evidence that they have been trying to frame Donald Trump. We all knew it, but now we've got the evidence. And in the classified documents case, they actually began cooking this up just a few weeks after they found out that Joe Biden had reams of classified material that he was not entitled to because he had not been president at the time, from the Senate, from the vice president. He had boxes stuffed in his garage next to the Corvette, and places like in the UPenn Center near Chinatown, all of this crazy stuff. He had classified documents everywhere. A couple of weeks after they learned that, that's when they started concocting the case against Trump to try to dilute the impact of what they knew Joe Biden had done wrong. Trump did not do anything wrong on this. He had been president, power of declassification, Presidential Records Act could have all of this stuff. Again, Trump did nothing wrong, but they are prosecuting and attacking Donald Trump for their crimes. The corruption is so deep in this country that unless we elect Donald Trump president, and we got to flip the Senate and keep the House, otherwise this country is gone. The hour is very, very late. They put their corruption right in your face now. They don't even pretend. They don't even try to hide it. Why? Because they control all of the levers of power. So they know that there will be no accountability unless and until Trump is elected and we can control the Justice Department. In my mind, the second most important person in Washington, D.C. in a second Trump term will be his attorney general. We got to clean up this mess and bring back the rule of law and hold all of these criminals, the actual criminals, responsible for their crimes. On that subject, we're going to turn to Mike Davis of the Article 3 Project coming right up. Sit tight. Okay, guys, listen up. There is a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are a couple of reasons. First, sky-high persistent inflation. The cost of most things, as we all know, continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Did you know that since January of 2021, when Biden took office, the cost of living is up nearly 18%? Second, the national debt continues to skyrocket. It's now well above $34 trillion, causing all of us to worry when the whole house of cards will come crashing down. And this is a presidential election year that will have massive implications for the future of our country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty. And that's why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? What are you waiting for? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold. Just text Monica to 989-898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. You can't beat that. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold too. I know Philip Patrick and the great people over at Birch Gold Group. They're really smart and good people who will take excellent care of you. Just text Monica to 989-898 to claim your free info kit and to protect your savings from uncertainty today. Well, I am absolutely delighted, and it's such a pleasure to have with us today a true hero of the Republic. Mike Davis is the founder of the Article 3 Project, which you can find on the web at article3project.org. Please go check them out and support them however you can, because they are right there on the front lines of protecting the rule of law from all of this Republic-ending lawfare. You can find them on X at Article 3. Again, that's the number 3, Article 3 Project. And Mike himself on X is at MRDDMIA. So follow him right now. Mike, welcome. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me, Monica.
Well, it's a pleasure, and we've got a lot of ground to cover. I know today that you are at the Supreme Court. We're going to deal with that in just a second, but I want to start with the Stalinesque show trial of President Trump in downtown Manhattan. Can you give us sort of a thumbnail sketch of where we are in this right now?
Yeah, you have this Soros-funded Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, bringing the first indictment ever against a former president, and he did it when that former president looked like he was going to run for president again. So you have the former president and the leading presidential candidate. They're using a bogus legal theory, a bogus bookkeeping misdemeanor legal theory. It's not even a bookkeeping misdemeanor, but they're trying to transform what are at best time-barred bookkeeping misdemeanors from 2017 and transform them into 34 felony counts against President Trump. And they're doing this after Matthew Colangelo got deployed from the number 3 office in the Biden Justice Department, a very senior political appointee in the Biden Justice Department, to resurrect this zombie case that the prior Manhattan DA Cy Vance, the Manhattan U.S. Attorney, the Federal Election Commission, and Bragg himself declined to prosecute. This is obviously part of the Democrats' lawfare and election interference campaign, Biden's lawfare and election interference campaign. They're in front of this Manhattan Democrat Judge Juan Merchan. This Judge Juan Merchan donated to Biden in 2020 and another anti-Trump group, and his adult daughter, more importantly, Lauren Merchan, has raised $100 million from her father's unprecedented criminal prosecution, criminal trial over which he is presiding. And so that is a clear conflict of interest under New York statute. Even a former federal judge, a former Clinton federal judge from the Southern District of New York, went on Caitlin Collins' show on CNN and I think stunned everyone when she said that Judge Juan Merchan absolutely has to recuse under New York statute. He's refused to do it. And look, the whole point is they don't care if these Democrat operatives don't care if they ultimately get reversed on appeal. Their job is, they have one job. Their job is to label President Trump a felon before November 5th, 2024, because they know that's just about the only way that they think that they can resurrect President Biden's dead body and drag him over the finish line.
You know, this is a really important point. Well, two. One, this is all politically driven. This is no basis in the law. None of these cases have any basis in the law. And then number two is that communists do whatever they want. And your point, Mike, is a point that I've been making here and elsewhere. And I started making it when I saw the Colorado Supreme Court boot him off the ballot. Now, that was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. But to your point, these communists do not care if they're overturned. It used to be that lawyers, prosecutors, the DOJ, Supreme Courts in various states, the U.S. Supreme Court, they would actually spend a lot of time thinking through their decisions before issuing them, because they used to think about the law, the rule of law, and they would think about their legacies. Do I really want to be overturned here because this is so blatantly political? Maybe not. I'm concerned about my legacy and what kind of precedent this might set. These communists have no such concerns, because communists are all about destruction and they simply don't care. So all of these people across the country prosecuting these cases, these judges, they simply don't care. What does that mean? Not just for Donald Trump, Mike, but what does that mean for the rule of law in America?
Well, I would say this. If they can indict a former and likely future president, a billionaire, four times, if they can try to bankrupt him for non-fraud, if they can try to destroy him for defamation when he didn't commit defamation, if they can just try to throw him off the ballot when they don't like him, in the name of trying to save democracy, they claim, just imagine what they can do to the rest of us, right? We are sitting ducks. President Trump is simply in their way. If they can do this to him, they're already doing this. They're going after, not only are they going after Trump, they're going after his top aides, they're going after his lawyers, they're going after January 6th defendants, you know, old ladies who trespassed and took selfies on January 6th. They're going after parents outraged by gender chaos in schools and the resulting rapes in high school bathrooms. They're going after Christians praying outside of abortion clinics while they give amnesty to Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and James Biden and every scumbag Biden family member who's taken over $20 million in foreign corruption. They're giving amnesty to the much more deadly and dangerous BLM and Antifa rioters. They're giving an amnesty to the Hamas rioters, to the abortion industry activists, to the trans terrorists who are terrorizing Catholic churches and crisis pregnancy centers. We have a politicized and weaponized justice system that started under Obama. It's on steroids under Biden, and these are republic ending tactics. This is how the Roman Republic fell. It was the lawfare against Caesar that made him feel desperate, and he crossed the Rubicon from Gaul into Rome, which led to the fall of the Roman Republic. And I'm not saying that America is going into civil war over this, but it's going to lead to a legal tit for tat between the parties that will destroy the presidency. It will destroy our country.
Yeah, no, you are exactly right. And of course, for the communists, that's the point, Mike. The point is to destroy the country. We are in a war for the future of America. The country is hanging by a thread. We're in this war, but only one side is truly fighting it. Them. And you, of course, on our side, but you're few and far between. We're so grateful for you. But where is our side on all of this? For example, yesterday, Speaker Mike Johnson came to New York City to speak with Jewish students at Columbia. Very grateful that he did that. But he did not jump in a cab and go downtown to give President Trump any kind of moral and political support. Where is our side on this? I mean, where is Jim Jordan? I know our friend Steve Bannon has been railing on Jordan. Like, where is our side that actually has some tools? We still have a very slim majority, but it's still a majority in the House. Where are our people who actually have the legal and political tools to fight back? Where are they? They're AWOL.
And that's the problem. I've been calling for House Republicans to step up since the Mar-a-Lago raid 21 months ago. They should have been doing aggressive oversight with subpoenas, constant subpoenas, not just performative subpoenas that get ignored and nothing happens. They should be holding these hearings. They should be cutting off appropriations to this lawfare. The Article 3 Project proposed appropriations riders that Congressman Andrew Clyde from Georgia champion. And so we're very grateful to him. And there were two appropriations riders that would have ended this election interference and lawfare. It's simply this: no federal funds can go to any prosecution of a major presidential candidate on or before November 5th, 2024. And number two, any state or local government that prosecutes a major presidential candidate on or before November 5th, 2024 loses all federal funding. Look, these Democrats waited 30 months to bring these unprecedented criminal indictments against a former president. And the only reason they brought these indictments is because they knew that Trump was running for re-election. This is obviously lawfare and election interference. And House Republicans have sat on their hands and done almost nothing for 21 months. And now we just see that Arizona just yesterday indicted Trump's White House chief of staff, several of his lawyers, several of his other supporters. They even said that Trump is an unindicted co-conspirator, which means that there's a very good chance that this Democrat attorney general down in Arizona could bring the indictment again, right? Indict Trump down the road, right? It's just maddening what they're doing with this lawfare and election interference. And these are Republic ending tactics. This needs to stop, and House Republicans need to stop it.
You know, what is the recourse here? I mean, you mentioned what Republicans in Congress could do, but they clearly haven't, and it's clear that they won't. But what is the recourse for President Trump? What is the recourse for the average American citizen who sees this deep corruption? You got a gag order slapped on Donald Trump from this corrupt judge, violating his First Amendment constitutional rights, completely outrageous. You've got this judge, but all of the judges in these cases are totally left-wing and biased. They're conflicted out all over the place. Who prosecutes the prosecutors? What kind of recourse do any of these defendants have?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Monica. And I think that what needs to happen is the state AGs can step up. There are Republican district attorneys can step up. But what needs to happen is when Trump is back in the White House, his Trump 47 Justice Department must open a criminal probe on this obvious criminal conspiracy by these Democrat prosecutors, these Democrat judges, these Democrat witnesses, these Democrat operatives who are clearly colluding and running a lawfare campaign. And it is a violation of President Trump and Walt Nauta and 18 co-defendants in Georgia and now the co-defendants in Arizona. This is a clear, obvious criminal conspiracy to violate their civil rights for the purpose of interfering in the presidential election. And this is just not acceptable. And there needs to be severe legal, political, and financial consequences to this, so this never happens again.
You have been talking a long time about accountability for their crimes. President Trump has done nothing wrong in any of these fraudulent cases. They are the ones committing the crimes. And you have said when President Trump is reelected, there does need to be this kind of accountability. You are likely to play a very pivotal role, Mike, and we look forward to that, probably as acting attorney general or viceroy of Washington, D.C. I cannot wait for that, for you to bring justice to these criminals. Speaking of criminals, you've been talking now about a criminal conspiracy, many criminal conspiracies against Donald Trump and the larger America First movement. Special Counsel Jack Smith, Fannie Willis in Georgia, Alvin Bragg in New York City, they've all created these Orwellian, sham, Stalinesque cases against Trump. We now know, thanks to the judge in Florida on the classified documents case, Eileen Cannon, she has redacted a bunch of material that Jack Smith, Merrick Garland, Joe Biden wanted kept redacted. She has released all of this, and what it proves is this actual collusion, not the fake collusion that they stuck on Trump, but actual collusion between the DOJ, the FBI, and all of these legal actors around the country. Can you address that? I mean, this is completely outrageous and tearing of the Constitution. How do we deal with this right now before Trump is reelected?
This is on the Mar-a-Lago raid, and I've been saying since day one, 21 months ago, when I was one of the few people out there, maybe the only lawyer out there defending Trump after the Mar-a-Lago raid. I think people need to understand that this was a complete setup by the Biden administration against President Trump. And that the reason they ran this Mar-a-Lago raid, and it's clearly a setup with the Biden White House. The reason they ran this Mar-a-Lago raid is President Trump declassified via presidential memo on January 19th 2021, the Crossfire hurricane records. And those are so damning. This is the Russian collusion hoax. This is so damning to Hillary, to Biden, to Obama, to Clapper, to so many people in the administration. What they did is that Hillary Clinton had her illegal home server as Secretary of State with our nation's most classified secrets. And it also evidenced her illegal pay-for-play schemes, including foreign corruption with the Clinton Foundation. And so that home server, illegal home server, almost certainly got hacked by the Russians and maybe the Chinese. And I think the Clinton campaign, the Obama White House, they were fearful that the Russians were going to release that hacked material before the 2016 campaign and showing her obvious corruption, right? And then all these foreign secrets that, you know, this hide material that she had on her computer, on her home server, that she destroyed. Remember, she thought she destroyed. She thought she destroyed it with hammers and a bleach bit. And guess what? The Russians almost certainly hacked it and had a copy. And so what they did is they made up the Russian collusion hoax. They ran the Crossfire. They said essentially they wanted to run President Trump's campaign, Donald Trump's campaign. They even spied on him as the president of the United States. They got fake FISA warrants to spy on him, or fraudulent FISA warrants. They went with fraudulent evidence to the FISA court. They did the Steele dossier. And the whole point of this was if this hacked material came out, the intel community, the FBI could come out and say that the Justice Department can come out and say this is part of the campaign dirty trick between the Trump campaign and the Russians, right? And so they could say it was it was Trump who was the one who was at fault, not Hillary Clinton. He's the bad guy, not Hillary. And you say, oh, that sounds crazy, Mike. How can you possibly think that? Well, they ran the same play again in 2020 with Hunter Biden's laptop, right? Remember the laptop with all the Biden foreign corruption? When mm-hmm. that laptop came out, they censored the New York Post. They had the 51 former intel officials come out working with the CIA, come out and say that it had all the hallmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. They censored the New York Post, America's oldest newspaper. They took the link of the news story off the internet, and they shut down anyone who shared the story. So that shows you how serious they are. And so guess what? They think that President Trump still has those Crossfire hurricane records, and that's why they ran the Mar-a-Lago raid. They're trying to get back these records because they're so damning. So that's a big driver of this lawfare and election interference against Trump, because they fear that if Trump releases those records, either in a civil lawsuit that got kicked in Florida, that was the impetus. There was a civil lawsuit from Trump against Hillary over Russian collusion. It was down before Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhart. They found Bruce Reinhart's post where he's trashing Trump on Facebook. So he recused. 6 weeks later, that recusal issue, that conflict of interest, somehow magically disappeared when he worked with the Biden Justice Department, with Jay Bratt and the Biden Justice Department, to authorize the unprecedented, unnecessary, and unlawful raid on the office of former president in Mar-a-Lago for presidential records Trump was allowed to have under the Presidential Records Act. The whole point of that raid was to get back the Crossfire hurricane records.
The corruption runs so deep, Mike, and we're going to need you as acting AG to uproot all of this rot. My view is you've got to raise these institutions to the ground. I really don't think that they can be reformed. That's a conversation for us for another day. I know you're outside the Supreme Court for this presidential immunity case, and I want to let you go back into the Supreme Court to cover that. But can you just give us an overview of what we can expect in those arguments today?
This is one of the most important cases that the Supreme Court of the United States will ever hear, because it is about this, whether the president of the United States, any president of the United States, is immune from criminal prosecution for his official acts, not his personal acts, his official acts. Members of Congress are immune from criminal prosecution for their official acts. So are federal judges. Why the hell would the president of the United States not be? And the reason this has not been decided yet is because until now, a former president has never been charged. Until Biden brought this lawfare against Trump, a former president has never, ever been charged. And so this is a monumental case. If I suspect the Supreme Court is going to hold that the president is immune from criminal prosecution for his official acts, because if not, we're gonna destroy the presidency. We're gonna destroy the country, and I'll tell you how. If President Trump is not immune from official criminal prosecution for his official acts, does that mean the Trump 47 Justice Department can indict President Obama for his drone strike, extrajudicial drone strike on two American citizens, including a minor? Does that mean that the Trump 47 Justice Department can charge him with capital murder? Does that mean the Trump 47 Justice Department can charge now Judge David Barron on the First Circuit Court of Appeals, who was Obama's legal advisor at the time, for that same capital murder? Does that mean the Trump 47 Justice Department can charge President Biden for his illegal mass parole of 10 million unvetted illegal immigrants into our country and the resulting crimes that occur? Does that mean the Trump 47 Justice Department can indict President Bush 43 and Vice President Cheney and their advisors for their reckless, at best, reliance on faulty intel that led to the Iraq war and hundreds of thousands of deaths? This is why I say this is one of the most important decisions this Supreme Court will ever make, because if they make the wrong decision, it's going to destroy our presidency and therefore destroy our country.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And listen, the Supreme Court is also hanging by a thread. It's our last line of defense, Mike, as you often point out, but it is also hanging by a thread here. Final question for you on this presidential immunity case. It will have consequences more broadly for the country, obviously, for all former presidents, for Donald Trump as well. But what are the consequences for the January 6th defendants that have been prosecuted sort of under this larger legal rubric?
Yeah, that's what's happened to these January 6th defendants is it's just unacceptable. It's un-American. It's disgusting how our Biden Justice Department, look, former President Trump is a former president. He's a likely future president. He's a billionaire. It's not right what they're doing to Trump, but he actually, if anyone can get through it, it's Trump. He has the resources. These January 6th defendants are just real Americans in real America. And look, what's happened on January 6th is disgusting. What happened on January 6th was it was a lawful protest permitted by the National Park Service that got out of hand and turned into a riot. And there are three categories of people who were there on January 6th. There were the people who were there peacefully and didn't trespass. And even if you don't like their message, even if you think that they're, even if you hate them as an American for some reason, they have an absolute First Amendment right to be there. The second category are the people who trespass, and they should be charged with trespass. And the third category are the people who were violent, and those people should be treated more harshly. But you can't lump them all together and label them as insurrectionists. How many insurrectionists go unarmed into a nation's capital, take selfies, walk through velvet ropes, follow police direction, and then walk out and not burn down the damn place? It was a riot. It was not an insurrection. You can't lump everyone together as insurrectionists and treat them severely, especially when you give amnesty to your much more deadly and destructive BLM and Antifa and Hamas rioters, right? And that is what is so wrong. The BLM riots caused like $2 billion in damage and dozens of deaths, and those were mostly peaceful, according to the same people who call grandmas who trespassed and took selfies insurrectionist.
So the Supreme Court ruling on this, which could come relatively soon, could actually significantly impair Jack Smith's case against Donald Trump and eliminate most, if not all, of the charges for many of these J6 defendants, right?
Yeah. So Jack Smith, the Biden Justice Department, has weaponized a post-Enron obstruction statute that was used for corporate obstruction, like destroying documents, or if there's a corporate investigation when corporations obstruct justice. And they have contorted that law and weaponized it against the January 6th defendants. And Jack Smith used it for two of his four felony charges against Trump for January 6th, right? And again, the Supreme Court's almost certainly going to reverse that. And many of these January 6th defendants who have these very harsh sentences, they're going to get reversed. These lower court judges are already publicly scheming that they're still going to punish the defendants anyway. They're still going to find ways to keep them in prison as long as they can anyway. They're still going to punish them for raising this appeal, which is just unacceptable. That's what I mean by a criminal conspiracy to violate civil rights. When you punish criminal defendants for exercising their constitutional and statutory rights, then you're committing a crime, right? So that's, I hope these judges understand how serious I am about the Trump 47 Justice Department investigating what the Biden Justice Department and these Democrat judges across the country, like Tish James and Fannie Willis and Alvin Bragg and, you know, the Judge Cannon in D.C. And, you know, it just never ends. Now the Arizona State Attorney General, this Democrat out there, is bringing charges. I hope they understand how serious I am, that I'm going to be, through the Article 3 Project, advocating very strongly for the Trump 47 Justice Department to open a criminal probe on their obvious criminal conspiracy to violate rights, which is a very serious federal crime with very severe prison sentences and fines. And they certainly should think long and hard about continuing what they do based upon this statute.
Well, we hope that we see that day, and we're all going to work very hard to get President Trump reelected and get you as head of the DOJ to pursue all of this. But it also gives the communists more incentive to rig this election and try to convict and imprison Donald Trump, because they know that if the two of you get back into to power, that there is going to be hell to pay for all of their crimes. Human justice is imperfect because human beings are imperfect. Perfect, Mike, but God's justice is perfect. So in the meantime, we got to work on the human justice part, and you are doing extraordinary work at the Article 3 Project. Everybody, please go check them out, article3project.org. Support them however you can. They are really on the front lines of trying to keep our Constitution and the rule of law intact against this grotesque communist assault. On X, Mike Davis is at MRDDMIA. And please go follow him there as well. Mike, I want to thank you so much for your time today. I know you're getting inside the Supreme Court today. We appreciate you covering this, all of these cases, for us and for everybody else. God bless.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, that is going to do it for me today. What a big show, right? I mean, total passion coming out of me today. I had actually prepared a monologue and threw it out and just started riffing here because my anger, my frustration, my passion for this country and what it's going through, it knows no bounds. And I know all of you feel the exact same way. So I want to thank you for being here today and for listening to my legendary rant at the top of the show, as well as being joined by the great Mike Davis. Thank you so much for joining me, for visiting our tremendous sponsors. We all really appreciate that. Have a terrific end to your week. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will see you right back here with more huge shows next week. This episode of the Monica Crowley Podcast was produced by Behakel Entertainment, LLC.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.